Some new research coming out of the Yale School of Medicine, how exercise slows tumor growth. Talking to the author of this study, Dr. Rachel Perry joins us now for more. Dr. Perry, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think this is something that people would be really fascinated by, not just because we love to track what's coming out of institutions like Yale, but also because this probably would pertain to a lot of people listening here in Connecticut. So first of all, I want to talk a little bit about you, if you don't mind, in kind of your scientific life and in your interest over the years with how the body moves energy around. And how did you come to this topic?
Absolutely. So I've always been fascinated by metabolism, which is the science of how our bodies use different nutrients, where they go, and under what conditions we use them. And, you know, one area where we're really evolved to be very good at it is exercise. So we're evolved to be able to run away from predators, right? And so our bodies have to be able to use nutrients in a way that allows us to move efficiently. And make the most of the calories that we already have. And so, you know, we've known for many years that exercise is a great tool to prevent disease and also to help us deal better with disease. And so it's a natural extension that exercise would help in various settings like cancer, what we're focused on. And so we wanted to understand exactly how it works. Because I think as a scientist, it's not enough to understand that it works. We want to understand how it works so that we can maybe develop ways to amplify that effect.
Totally. Absolutely agree. So talk about some of the research. First of all, how long did you work on this?
This was a study several years in the making. It began really when I opened my own lab in 2018. This was one of the first studies that we did and worked on it sort of slowly over the years. And just came out recently.
So talk about some of the key takeaways here. Again, we have Dr. Rachel Perry and this new research, how exercise slows tumor growth. And I don't, this might sound like a really elementary question, Dr. Perry, so forgive me. But are there different types of tumors where exercise is more prevalent, or is a tumor essentially?
It's a great question, not too elementary at all, and I think really fundamental, actually. So exercise does seem to work differently in certain tumor types. In our study, we looked at breast cancer and melanoma. We found that exercise worked much better in breast cancer than in melanoma, which is a type of skin cancer. But additional studies will be needed to go even more across the collection of different cancers. It is a very important question. I would not suggest that people with any type of cancer not exercise just because in our study it didn't work in melanoma, but that is what we found.
Okay. So talk about, back to my initial question of the key takeaways in your research.
Yes. Yeah. So, of course, as mentioned, exercise did slow tumor growth in mice with breast cancer. And one of the most interesting things to us was looking at how it worked. And one of the key ways that it seemed to work was by redistributing nutrients. So glucose in particular, which is sugar, moved when animals exercised from tumors and toward muscle, toward leg muscle and also toward heart muscle. And that tells us that exercise is moving nutrition to the right places, away from the tumor, where it's a fuel for tumor growth, and toward the working muscles. And another key take home from this study was that the animals weren't training for a marathon. We put running wheels in their cages, and they only moved as much as they wanted to. So some mice moved more than others. They only went as far as they were comfortable. And that was enough to have a beneficial effect on the tumor. So when people ask me about this study, I really want to convey we're not talking about training for a marathon. We're talking about, you know, maybe parking further away in the parking lot or taking the stairs instead of the elevator.
I think, Dr. Perry, that's a big deal. I think that's a big deal because first of all, that term exercise, it freaks people out. It's so funny because, and I get it. I remember growing up in the 90s and to get into shape, it was like you had to be in a gym. And even that idea of what exercise looks like and what is the ideal type of exercise, what is really best for you. Like, we have such misconceptions of that, just on average. We right. really do. And unless you love to exercise, it's not something a lot of us are just naturally drawn to do. But you're right. I don't know if we realize that when we say park, you know, further away from the building and walk when you get there, or take the stairs instead of the elevator. The unbelievable, just the need of movement, really. Like, right. I don't even know if we should use, not that you should not use it, but that idea of exercise, I think we as a society have such a bad misconception of that, when really it's get your body moving and make it work a little bit. But you're not looking to be, like you said, a marathon runner.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, that is such an important message, because particularly people who are undergoing treatment for a medical condition, you know, a lot of times it's
they
really
can't
hard.
Run a marathon. Like, then exactly. they don't have the time and the treatment, and their bodies are weaker. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly. And so, you know, with our study, one of the goals was to determine, is just a little bit enough? And we find here that it is. Now, it seems to be that you do get a greater effect if you exercise more. But that's not a reason to not get off the couch and do some exercise, right? If that's what you can achieve, that little bit does seem to have a beneficial effect.
So here's another question I have, Dr. Perry, is, you know, we say obviously that exercise can slow the growth of tumors. So you're talking about if you've already been diagnosed, correct? I mean, because the reason I'm asking this question is, I think when you see studies like this, this is a really big thing I'm saying, and then I'll come back to the question, I promise, but there's a reason I'm saying it. So,
yeah.
As you know, more and more people in the last couple of years are relying on GLP-1 medications. They're great, right? I mean, there's a place for them. Absolutely. People are losing weight.
Yes.
America is, you know, our obesity rates are coming down. Like, these are all good things. I'm not knocking the GLP-1 drugs. I know plenty of people who use them. Success. It's great.
Yeah.
There's a place for them. I guess my fear, though, is that our society, because we are physically looking better or we are feeling better, doesn't necessarily mean we are, you know, again, I think prepping ourselves or really doing, you know, all the essential things we need to do to have a healthy life. So what I'm getting at is, even if you don't have, which I hope to God people who are listening don't have a cancer diagnosis, how important is it that people are still, I guess, having those daily movements, having either exercise or whatever you want to call it, but they start incorporating the things you're talking about, taking the stairs, not the elevator, walking further to the, you know, getting up every hour from your, maybe going from a sitting desk to a standing desk. How important is it that you're incorporating that, you know, before, God forbid, the tumor shows up? You know, is that also part of this research, or was this specific to when the tumor already got here?
So our research was specific to when the tumor was already in place, but there has been plenty of research suggesting that exercise before diagnosis makes a difference as well as in individuals who have already been treated for cancer, it can prevent recurrence. So exercise is beneficial at any stage, and it appears that the total amount of lifelong exercise that you've gotten is really what's predictive, but that means it's not too late to start. Starting now is better than never starting at all.
Totally. I guess my reason for asking that is, I mean, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, feel free to call me out. I have no issue with that. But do you feel like, do you worry at all, I guess, that because of the emergence of GLP-1 drugs, for example, do you worry that exercise falls by the wayside until you have something that is deemed you need to exercise? So, for example, a cancer diagnosis. Like, do you worry at all that our society will rest on something like a GLP-1 drug that is a quick fix? And it might be a long-term fix. You're on the drugs for a long time, but they clearly have results. But people are not pairing that with exercising or pairing that with a good diet. Do you worry about that at all, outside of, obviously, the research that you've done? I'm just curious.
Well, so I would reframe it a little bit. I wouldn't say I would worry about anything that's been used as an effective tool. The GLP-1s, as you mentioned, are absolutely effective. And if that's what folks can do and have access to, then that's great to treat obesity. But pairing it with either pairing it or separately using diet and exercise have huge benefits as well. And I should mention, not just for cancer risk. Exercise is beneficial really across the board when we look at cardiovascular risk, lung function, depression risk, all of these additional things. And so I very much want lifestyle changes like exercise that can be used to really improve overall health, to not fall by the wayside, exactly as you mentioned.
Yeah, and I think that, like you said, I thought the most telling, I mean, I learned a lot from this conversation, but I think the most telling thing you said was the misconception, which is we're not asking you to put 10 miles in a day. I mean, you're talking about very easy, but to me, it sounds like monumental changes. The stair elevator thing is one of the biggest changes I think I made when I started this job here, because we're on the third floor, and I always walk up the three flights, and it's incredible, because I would always complain about the fact that I didn't have the motivation maybe to work out at 11 o'clock in the morning after the show was done, because I work at 3 a.m. But doing the three flights of stairs, it's incredible, because, you know, my water consumption is better, all these things. And those are little changes that I think could have a big impact, and certainly in the long term are better than if you just don't do them at all.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, my parking garage at work is 3/4 of a mile away from my office, and I don't complain about that anymore.
Right? Isn't that amazing?
Exactly. Exactly. So these little things can be really beneficial for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to link the full research, the study, I should say, to your podcast. Dr. Perry, I want to thank you for the work that you do and for coming on the show to break this down for us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
You're very welcome.